Welcome to Nerdities. Bitches.
Greetings, true believers. I am Justin. I am Justin, joined by my co-host,
Vin.
And this is Vin and Justin's Tinfoil Hat Society, where we take a look at conspiracies, myths, legends, urban legends, all sorts of shit. And we try to find the truth. And Mike joins us to shit all over it. And Joe...
Everyone needs a little sarcasm.
And Joe helps.
I used to use tinfoil, but not to make a hat.
Joe, what does that mean?
You know damn well what that means.
The tinny...
There's a lot of different options.
Like you put it down like on a pan and you make like potatoes or something with it. I don't understand.
Yeah, you know, you put it on the baking sheet, you put a little oil on it so things don't stick to it.
Yeah.
No, he's talking about making a headache pipe.
That was
every time I ever smoked out of tin foil, I got a headache.
That was a long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
What do you think about the nonsense?
Say what?
Yes. No, you had a question.
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, why do they call it aluminium across the pond?
Because they're stupid. No, they're British. No, well, kind of hand in hand.
They sound smart, but they are stupid.
Mm. It's just the accent.
Yeah.
I'm all about streamlining. I'm all about streamlining stuff, so, like, adding that extra I really does nothing.
Yeah. C'est la vie.
All right. Tonight, we're going to talk about Betty and Barney Hill, one of the most famous abduction cases in the history of the world.
I did a semi-deep dive with this. Not really that deep, but I watched about an hour and a half worth of footage today.
So you waded in a kiddie pool?
Yeah. Yep, the deep end of the kiddie pool.
It's appreciated. The following is taken from historychannel.com or history.com.
Are you saying it that way so that we know you're checking your sources? Or are you trying to be like history.com is a reliable, respectable source?
All the above.
Or are you saying history.com is a propaganda extension of the U.S. government? They're trying to dissuade you from the actual truth.
What Mike said. Both. Not what you said.
So what Mike and I said, you said both.
No.
Just to clarify.
Both things Mike said, not yours.
Both things Mike said, mine, maybe.
Sure. If maybe helps you sleep, fine.
Let's not forget, History Channel is the place where you could find ancient aliens. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just throwing it out there. Is it chasing us? That thought coursed through Betty and Barney Hill's minds as they drove down the empty, winding country road in New Hampshire's White Mountains. It was a September night in 1961. They hadn't seen a car for miles, and a strange light in the sky seemed to follow them. When they finally got home to Portsmouth at dawn, they were far from relieved. They felt dirty, their watches stopped working. Barney's shoes were strangely scuffed, and Betty's dress was ripped. There were 2 hours of the drive that neither one of them could remember. What happened? With the help of psychiatrists, the quiet couple eventually revealed a startling story. Gray beings with large eyes had walked them into a metallic disc as wide, Betty said, as her house was long. Once inside, the beings examined the couple and erased their memories. Their experience would kick off an Air Force inquiry, part of the secretive initiative. I have a new smartwatch and it keeps buzzing at me. I don't know why. They're listening.
Told you, bro. Everything I'm saying is right. You can disregard Mike's now. Go ahead.
Their experience would kick off an Air Force inquiry, part of the secretive initiative Project Blue Book that investigated UFO sightings across the country. The incident would also become the first ever widely publicized alien abduction account and shape how stories like it were told and understood from then on. Debate continues as to whether the husband and wife were liars, fantasists, crackpots, or simply sleep-deprived people who later recovered seriously scrambled memories. The Hills saw strange lights pursuing their car. The Hills' road trip was spontaneous, a well-earned break Barney decided the couple needed, as explained in The Interrupted Journey, a 1966 book they collaborated on with author John G. Fuller. Barney worked a grueling night shift at the post office. Preach, bro. I know how that shit could be. Driving 60 miles each way, Betty's job handling state child welfare cases was no easier. The little free time this biracial couple had was devoted to their church and activities related to the civil rights movement. After 16 months of marriage, Betty and Barney saw this trip through Montreal and Niagara Falls as their delayed honeymoon. They left so impulsively that they had no time to go to the bank before it closed for the weekend. They got in their car with less than $70 in their pockets. That doesn't even get you the parkway in New Jersey this day and age.
Yeah. It was the 50s, right? They were driving to go buy a house with that money.
Yeah. On the last night of their three-day trip, the tired couple sipped coffee in a Vermont diner to recharge before driving back. Barney figured if they pushed through, they could beat the winds and rains from an approaching hurricane. They left the diner around 10 p.m., estimating they could reach their red-framed house in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. at the latest. As they drove, strange light in the sky gave another reason to hurry. At first, it looked like a falling star, but grew larger and brighter with each mile. Barney, an avid plane watcher and World War II vet, was sure that he had nothing to worry about. "It's just a satellite," he assured Betty. "It probably went off course." The light seemed to move with the car as Barney steered down the curving mountain road. The light zigged and zagged, ducking past the moon and behind trees and mountain ridges, only to reappear moments later. Sometimes it seemed to move toward them in a game of cat and mouse. It had to be an illusion, they thought. Maybe the car's movement made it seem like the light, too, was moving. Curiosity overcame them. The couple pulled over at road stops and picnic turnouts to get a closer look. Through binoculars, Betty saw that the white light was really an object spinning in the air. "Barney," she told her husband, "if you think that's a satellite or a star, you're being completely ridiculous." He knew she was right. Barney had an IQ of 140, noted Fuller in his book. Barney was also a pragmatic man who wouldn't give flying saucers a second thought, and remembered his niece, Kathleen Marden, in her work, captured the Betty and Barney Hill experience. The night was too quiet for a helicopter, a commercial plane, or even military jet with a hotshot pilot. He didn't want to spook Betty, but he was becoming concerned. What was the light, and why was it toying with them? About 70 miles past the diner, the object hovered just above the treetops, approximately 100 feet above them. Barney abruptly stopped the car, keeping the engine running. He shoved a handgun he'd hidden beneath the seat into his pocket and rushed into a dark field, leaving Betty in the car. What he saw was as big as a jet, but as round and flat as a pancake. "My God, what is this thing?" he recalled thinking. "This can't be real." Behind rows of windows, gray, uniformed beings seemed to look right at him, Barney recalled. He tried to lift his hand to his pistol, but somehow couldn't. A voice told him not to put down his binoculars. He had a startling thought. "We're about to be captured," yelling hysterically. He ran back to the car and bailed down the road as Betty tracked the craft, craning her head outside the car window. Without explanation, loud rhythmic beeps sounded from the car's trunk. The couple felt instantly drowsy and lost consciousness. They came to around 2 hours later and 35 miles down the road. Back home in Portsmouth, they tried to make sense of the night. Barney felt compelled to examine his body's lower half. Both seemed aware of a puzzling presence. In the weeks and months after, Betty, an avid reader, checked out books from the library discovering the Civilian UFO Group, National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, NICAP. She also reported the sighting to the Air Force, worried about radiation. In coming years, with Betty suffering from disturbing dreams and Barney developing an ulcer and anxiety... I didn't need an alien abduction for that shit.
Yeah, I was in World War II. The alien abduction did it.
The couple sought... and he worked for the post office.
Yeah.
The couple sought mental help. The two met with Benjamin Simon, a psychiatrist and neurologist who specialized in hypnosis, a mainstream technique at the time. Through months of weekly sessions, Simon helped the couple piece together what they think had happened. A vessel had landed on the Hills' car, putting them to sleep. Afterward, gray beings walked them up a long ramp and into the spacecraft. Once inside, the Hills were separated. taking turns in an examination room that had curved walls and a large light hanging from the ceiling. Each was asked to climb up on a metal table. The table was so short, Barney's legs hung over the side. During the examinations, the beings removed Betty and Barney's clothes, plucked strands of their hair, took clippings of their nails, and scraped their skin. Each sample was placed on a clear material, not unlike a glass slide. Needles connected long wires probed their heads, arms, legs, and spines. One large needle, around 4 to 6 inches long, was inserted into Betty's belly. The pregnancy test left her twisting in pain. Throughout, a being Barney and Betty called the leader watched from the side. After Betty's examination ended, the beings rushed back into her room, excited. They discovered that Barney's teeth could be removed. Betty laughed, explaining that Barney had dentures, a fact of human aging that the beings struggled to understand.
Actually, I heard, if I could just add real quick, I heard he lost his teeth in World War II from a grenade accident.
Sure.
The beings asked them in English to get on the table?
Most cases of alien abduction, it's telepathy.
So, I think I know who the leader is. It is their cousin, Benny Hill. Are you playing music? I think he tried to.
I didn't hear it either. It wasn't going to help that joke.
Joe, fantastic job.
Thank you.
Vinny, he just mocked the whole concept of your show.
No. He's having fun. And I'm all about having fun.
Yeah. I'm the one who mocks the whole concept of the show.
Yeah.
Let's get everything straight.
Later, alone with the leader, Betty asked where the craft had flown. Admitting she knew little of the universe, the being joked with her, saying, "If you don't know where you are, there wouldn't be any point in telling you where I am." Later, under hypnosis, she drew a star map shown to her on the ship. In 1965, the Hill story was picked up by a Boston newspaper. After that, everything changed. The quiet couple story became the subject of a best-selling book and a movie starring James Earl Jones. The upstanding civil servants had become celebrity abductees. The Hills weren't the first to spot a UFO or even to report an abduction, but their story did capture the nation's imagination and was so widely publicized, it has helped shape how we talk about alien encounters and abductions to this day. Before the Hills story, alien encounters were friendly, according to Christopher Bader, a professor of sociology at California's Chapman University. Some aliens even lived on Earth and commuted back on the weekends. But once the Hills story became better known, abduction accounts shared certain characteristics, such as medical examinations and missing time. Aliens with large heads and big eyes, dubbed grays in UFO circles, became classic sci-fi staples in personal accounts and pop culture. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and shows like The X-Files. The Hill story, and those that came after, helped pave the way for a new understanding of human experience. Richard J. McNally, a Harvard physiologist, puts it this way. "The alien abduction phenomenon, in my opinion, shows how sincere, non-psychotic individuals can develop beliefs about and false memories of incredible experiences that never happened."
I like the cut of this guy's jib.
Well,
together.
Experts of all stripes have tried to explain why intelligent, otherwise mentally stable people came forward with these experiences. Many psychologists say sleep paralysis and hallucinations played a role. Leading questions during hypnosis, the main way most abductees unlock their stories, could also have been a factor.
Betty's sister was abducted, or had a UFO encounter, I should say. I don't know if she was abducted. But she had an encounter.
That really leads me to believe there's some kind of mental issue there. So they went and got coffee and then saw this in the late 60s, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody put LSD in their coffee. They were tripping. Could be.
Mm-hmm. I have a different angle.
If it was,
I think with...
Hold
go
on.
Ahead, Jess.
If it was LSD dropped in their coffee, though... That they wouldn't be able to recount stuff under hypnosis.
They
no, they can't.
Sure, they could.
We
yeah,
can.
Yeah, because how can they? Why can't they?
So your brain chemistry is altered under the influence of LSD, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
You can't under hypnosis hit the subconscious level of that memory recall.
Says who? Like, where is the facts of this?
Look it up, man.
Just look it up. You do the work. You answer the question.
I told you why you couldn't. You say, where's the facts? I said, go ahead and look it up.
Well, also, they had the same story pretty much.
Right.
Which could be worked out between them. Mass hypnosis is a thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
And mass hypnosis is much easier with two people who are telling each other what they see, and then you start to experience it yourself. Your mind starts to create the same thing the other person is seeing.
I don't buy the drug thing.
Me neither. However, I do buy... So, I think I saw I was about 18 minutes or 18 miles away from where they were abducted. There was a military base that was used for... it was like technology and transportation base, I think. And they shut it down, I think, before or after them. Fuzzy on the whole thing, but that doesn't mean that there isn't any, like, they always have underground shit with military bases, and if it's always officially shut down, it could unofficially be used for something else. It's classified. Barney was in World War II, which not soon after Roswell happened, not soon after Battle LA happened, not soon after the floating lights over the White House happened. I have a hard time believing that it's not some sort of militarized.
I'm of the belief that a good chunk of abductions are from our own government.
Yeah. I agree.
A lot of these abductions talk about very crude tests and testing objects that if a society had the ability to traverse the universe would not be using.
Well, that's a big speculation.
Is it though?
Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to collect a sample, you'd be using something fairly similar to what we're using now. It's not like you guarantee they're going to have some kind of laser to cut. That kind of technology is overkill if you're just trying to get a blood sample, if you're just trying to get a skin scraping.
Yes and no. Because based in the box that we have with our technology, yes. But UFO, UAPs aren't based on our technology.
Right.
They don't know how they do that. So I think to Justin's point, it is kind of creepy. If you could traverse the cosmos and you're using a big fucking needle...
How else do you get blood?
How do they fly their ships?
Yeah.
No, that's like, two separate things. That is two completely
different
things.
No, it is, but
you're trying to remove blood from a body. What's the best way to do it?
But that's because that's the only way we know.
Is my point.
That's the only way we know is with a needle.
Yeah, but it's the easiest. We're talking Occam's
razor. But you only say it's the easiest because it's the only way you know.
If there's a technology that's so advanced that it could teleport blood out of a person, because, like, other than cutting them open...
But who's to say that they had to withdraw the blood? Who's to say that they couldn't put something in that couldn't give the same readings like we get from withdrawing blood from a human?
But didn't they say they got samples?
Yes, but that's what the story says. Vinny and I are saying that the story sounds like it's more military abduction than it is alien abduction, because if it was alien abduction, they wouldn't be using the same medical methods that we use. It just wouldn't be a thing.
No, they could be. To say they wouldn't be is to speculate on what they would and wouldn't do. They could
I'll meet you halfway.
So advanced, or they could do the exact same stuff we do. You're speculating even more than I am.
Okay. So yeah, you're kind of where I'm at. So they could use what we use. However, the possibility that they have other shit isn't necessarily far-fetched, because when you see the way they fly, you're like, oh, they probably use big needles also. It's like, I don't know. Don't know about that. So maybe, but I'm open to all the possibilities, but I wouldn't doubt if it was militarized, because he was a vet.
Right.
If he blew himself up with a grenade, and fucked his teeth up, he probably had it done like on base. They had like their own people there. Who knows what they did to him then?
Out of all of it, I would be more inclined to think it's a military action. It's some kind of abduction from the military. I don't disbelieve the concept of aliens. Obviously, with all that's out there, there's other life going on. I just don't think they've come here yet.
Also, I heard one of the things I saw, Barney had said one of the aliens he noticed had red hair and a black scarf over his face.
The shadow knows.
Yeah. Now, yeah. This could play to the... how familiar are you guys with, like, the different classes of aliens?
I am.
Like the blondes, the blonde Viking people, the greys,
the Nordics, there's like the greys, the mantis.
Yeah.
The lizard people.
So, I mean...
Dragonborn.
Let's say it's the Galactic Federation. You got the ginger one and a couple of greys. They're like, let's get these two.
At the Marklars.
Yeah.
Juzians. You can't turn your back on the Juzians.
No, you can't. They'll go right after the Jagon.
Oh, they love Jagons.
bro, suck my Jagon. I fucking love it all the fucking time.
We just watched that episode like 2 weeks ago with James. He's like, what? He's like,
touch this hole. But yeah, I'm of the guys... It's military.
Yeah. I'd
be more inclined.
I think a good chunk of alien abductions are military.
Do you want to hear what I... So, in my studies today, air quote studies, so someone's monologue was talking about how even since Billy the Kid, they've talked about alien abductions and stuff like that and UFO sightings. So do you know where Billy the Kid originated was like the next town over from Roswell. So close to that area. Now reel me that. And that was what, late 1800s, early 1900s, Billy the Kid?
Mm-hmm. Coincidence? I think so.
Most likely. Uh-huh. But I mean, if they're over there, if that's where they are, that's where they are. It's not far-fetched.
I think that aliens have been here for a long time. Like, interacted with our society. But I don't believe that they're abducting people. And that's not to discredit anybody who's, you know, gone through the traumatic experience of an abduction or whatever. I tend to think that that's more or less us doing things then.
Yeah. I would absolutely believe there's some sick, twisted fucks who want to do some testing in the government but don't want to do all of that pesky paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you find a nice, really technologically advanced hole that you built and drag a few people down there every once in a while, shove a thing in, pull a thing out.
Puts the lotion on the skin.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You go to your closed down military base, take them underground.
Do the stuff.
Yep.
Fuck their brains up. Fuck their brains up. Drop them back off. Closest you can remember to wherever it was you got them if you didn't take them straight from their house.
Yep.
So, before we started, I looked up when Rohypnol was created. Rohypnol being one of the names, basically Rufalin, you might know it as well.
Flores,
Rufy, yeah, Flores. That was 1975. So that does not apply to this case.
That's right, LSD.
Yeah.
Well, that was when it was patented.
The problem with the LSD theory is, and if they were tripping, why did they have physical damage to them?
Yeah, their shoes and shit, the binoculars.
The dress was ripped. The needle wound sites were all on them. Like,
why they could have two people who were tripping have fucked up things on them? Like, they're out in the desert. They could have fallen on anything.
They're in Vermont.
Yeah, they were in Vermont.
Vermont.
Even worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're fucked up in Vermont, you can't walk 2 feet without
needle stumbling. Marks. You have needle marks in Vermont.
You fall into a tree.
Oh, the needle trees.
Yes, as did the needle trees.
The 4 to 6 inch long needle tree. Yes.
What do coniferous trees have on them?
Michael, you go outside, go touch a fucking pine tree, and see if that thing puts its needle through you. Go ahead.
Not touch.
Run into it.
Fall directly on it.
Sure.
It'll go into you.
Dude, don't, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Joe, what the fuck, dude?
No. I'm all for you guys trying to find logical explanations for things, but don't give me a fucking pine tree bullshit, because no.
Because maybe.
No, because the pine needle is not even the correct gauge of the tip of a fucking needle to begin with.
Yeah, and there's no sap on them.
Yeah.
So.
All pine needles? Because there's only one type of pine needle?
A majority of the different pine needles are flat too, so but it wasn't that kind of protrusion. So don't give me pine needles. If it was desert, I could take cactus.
Cactus?
Cacti. Even less so.
Most of those are short needled.
Cactus needles.
So we're on the same boat here. We think it was military?
I think
it was Space military, Federation. Yeah.
Joe thinks the Cardassians did it.
Of course.
Oh, yeah?
I think the Kardashians did it.
Do you think Caitlyn Jenner just was, like, driving recklessly in her spaceship and just crashed in? The guy goes, oh, whoops, get him on the ship, let's go. Buckle up.
Caitlyn Jenner is, like, 80 years old now?
Yeah.
Okay. I could get behind that conspiracy.
Caitlyn Jenner's an alien. Everyone knows that.
Lizard person.
Yeah.
That's our Betty and Barney Hill for tonight. I stumbled across an amazing new conspiracy theory that I didn't put in the group because I don't want to know if Vinny is behind this yet or not.
Surprise conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? P. Diddy's part of the Bully Society, and they're behind the rap culture. He's the hard one to the rap culture.
Mike and Joe, strap in for this one. But the moon is not a rock.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we talk about this? Doctor Who did this.
Yes, it's an egg.
Yeah,
it's a plasma portal.
For anyone wanting a quick update on the ladder, there appears to be a new one emerging, stating that the moon is not made of rock after all. The idea, if you are willing to call it that, is that the moon is in fact not lit by the sun, but it's its own light source.
Yeah, I saw some nonsense about that this week.
The moon is not lit by the sun. It cannot be. Go outside and look at it. Think where the sun would have to be. I'm in southern Australia, and the moon is... And this is the moon now. The lighted side is facing south. That's Antarctica. People need to think more. # what is the moon?
Okay. If they believe the moon is this, what about moons of other planets that we know are rocks?
Yeah, hang on. The idea is an odd one and has to explain a lot of observed phenomena, which has proved time and time again that the moon reflects light from the sun. The easiest example of this is how the different relative locations of the sun, moon, and earth can explain the phases we see of the moon. If you accept the fact that we see the moon because of reflected light from the sun, the idea that the moon reflects light from the sun actually goes back at least 2,500 years when Greek philosopher Anaxagoras wrote that...
Make it easy.
No. It is the sun that puts brightness into the moon, and went on to explain how this caused eclipses and lunar phases. In one particularly obtuse version of the moon is not a rock theory, people have gone further and made the claim that, quote, rocks don't reflect light, and, quote, neither does the moon. This is particularly baffling, given that all rocks that you see because light is reflective off them and into your eyeballs. Yes. A simple test of this theory, if you were inclined to do so, would be to take an ordinary rock into a room with no windows at night and turn the light off. If you can no longer see the rock, that tells you it is because you see it via reflected light. How all vision works. Or, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you probably guess that the rocks know to turn themselves off when it's dark.
I didn't even think of that answer. That's, you know what, we're fools. That's infallible logic.
Yeah.
The rock people inside each rock, each grain of sand has a quantum-sized person inside it that as soon as the light goes away, they flick a switch.
It's a sound.
Here's what I'll say to that nonsense.
I love it.
Every single moonstone ever taken back is fake. And I really hope we can get back to the moon someday and Mars, even though we destroyed the technology.
Nope. Man was on the moon not too long ago.
Yeah, we destroyed the technology, though. When was the last time, Joe?
Last year. That was one of my science stories for the Nerdy Awards. Was
India's?
Yeah, India landed on the moon.
So they took a Galaga ship, and they landed on the moon. You looked at that, and you go, yeah, no, it's real. They're not fucking with me.
No? No, it's real.
Okay.
This moon story... Like, there have always been stupid people, but, like, the internet allows for a situation where stupid people can put their stupidity out there to become popular. So, if, like, yeah. You're the person who came up with the moon's not a rock theory, you have so many stupid groupies now. Or, as and I like president. To call them, stoopies.
Well, I think it predates the 2,500 years ago, whatever Justin said. There's, like, many ancient cultures talk about it being something else. I don't even know off the top of my head, but
an egg.
Squash that absurdity. We, like, over years of science and learning, we managed to squash it, and then these concepts come back up, and I don't think people believe them. They're just saying this stuff so that people will look at them and go, you know what? You're deep. You're an outside thinker, man.
Because when you look at a lot of the air quote moon landing video and the shit these geeks say, you're like, oh, okay. Must be true. It's just... I'm on the fence. I don't buy it. Governments lie.
He's not wrong.
Many people say NASA's the biggest money laundering firm of all time.
Governments do lie, but occasionally governments tell the truth.
The problem is we're so covered with the lies that people have a hard time accepting the truths.
Yeah.
Like, for example, NASA was founded by Nazis.
It wasn't founded by Nazis.
Yeah.
Well, we took Nazis from Germany, and then we go, hey, build us your shit.
Hey, do you want to be in jail for the rest of your life, or do you want to work on rockets that'll send people into outer space? I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this one, so I'm just going to mark the rockets in outer space box.
And I'm sure these really, really smart guys didn't subvert anything.
I mean...
Okay, here we go.
Because...
Joe?
I just don't buy it.
Okay, so... This will go with that whole moon landing not being fake.
Indian one?
No, the first one. The cool one. So, if that was fake, then Apollo 1 blew up. That wasn't fake. People watched the rocket take off.
Yeah, people died.
Joe, if you'll remember back to the very first episode when we talked about the moon landing and the theories... It's not that the moon landing didn't happen. It's the footage was so shit that they ended up having to record in a soundstage, well, a better quality, a better quality video to play for the American people.
Think about a camera in 1969 encased in something in a vacuum. It's not going to look right.
Right. That's why I'm saying...
It's going to get what we got.
That's why I'm saying... No, it was probably worse than what we saw.
The people... The footage we're talking about that looked like shit is the transmission that everyone saw in the 60s.
Yes.
The film they had looks incredible because it's actual film.
Yeah.
The shit that was beamed down to be like, here, check it out, it's happening, was garbage. Yeah,
right.
Because it was transmitted on radio frequencies.
Yeah. Right. Which is why they had to do what they did. Yeah,
which is why
listen.
We got the footage back.
It was had space film on a space camera because, hey, they were in space. Right? Went through the Van Allen belt, the Kuiper belt, all the radiation. They made it through. They sent their signals because of radio waves, right?
they proved radio waves can travel extremely far.
And who proved that? NASA?
Scientists all over the world.
From NASA?
We have radio telescopes all over the world.
By the way, the Kuiper belt, you don't go through that to get to the moon.
The Van Allen belt.
It's the Van Allen, yeah. The Kuiper is the one. The Kuiper is the one with all the fucking asteroids and shit.
There you go.
The Van Allen belt is just magnetic noise, solar wind and magnetic noise.
Yeah.
It's like,
and radiation.
Yeah. Yeah. You think they prepared for that?
Yes, I do. I think that they had their space suits on and they were in their spaceship and they brought their aluminum foil moon lander. And, you know, one small step for man, groovy.
I'm going to tell everybody right now, lead is okay. It's not good to eat. I'm afraid you've been eating too much of it.
Pain chips.
But lead is good when you have it lining a facility to block out radiation.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just don't go.
Okay.
Just don't lick it.
Don't lick it.
But I want to.
It's going to be a bad time.
I'm going to say you probably shouldn't, because we know if we tell Vinny to do something, he's going to do the opposite.
Yep.
Fair.
I wish you guys... You know what, dude? I wish I could find the... YouTube's been so, like, nerfed. The Wild West YouTube videos, man, I wish you could show you guys. Can't find it. They debunked it. The original moon landing video. And then that fucking laughable... India one. Oh my god, dude. They put a Christmas tree on the moon. It's too funny.
I mean, I'm looking at the lander right now, and it looks fairly similar to the lander we sent.
The yellow, green, and blue one?
Yep, it's not too different than the lander we sent.
Hey, this is why America is the best country on earth, you know? You guys can look at that and you say, yep.
And you look at that and say, no. And I'm over here like, well, yes, the event happened, but not in the way it was portrayed to us.
I don't buy it.
Someone's lying to me. I don't know who's lying to me, but someone's lying to me.
I don't buy it. They're all full of shit.
That is all the weird I have for this week. And I think that's a good place. So,
I concur.
Until next episode, keep your tinfoil hats tight. Keep your minds open. And we'll see you down the road. Do all the things Kyle normally says here. And then do the things that I normally say. And then Mike says,
bye-bye. Because of the end of civilization, the Clamp Cable Network now leaves the air. We hope you have enjoyed our programming. But more importantly, we hope you have enjoyed life.